We might read from two or three different places this morning before service is over, but we want to start in Romans chapter 6. And we'll start at verse 1 and read down several verses here. But that's a great chapter, great chapter. You're talking about a sin-killing chapter. Chapter 6 and chapter 7 are great writings of Paul. I think some of his best writings as far as dealing with the sin problem. Amen. Romans chapter 6, and we'll start at verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? A question. God forbid. Statement. And now another question. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Amen. All right, we'll stop right there. We'll never get to all the good things. God bless you. You may be seated that are in these verses of Scripture. Paul is talking to us about being baptized into Christ. He's not talking to us about water baptism. This is the spiritual baptism of the new birth. We are born again. We are baptized into Christ, into newness of life. Baptism is a burial. And when Christ was baptized in the River Jordan, it was significant of his death. And so is when you are baptized in water, even now, it is that water baptism has no cleansing power at all. It is only a significant of a spiritual baptism, that we have died out to sin. The old man's crucified, amen, and as Christ died completely, he died completely. So those who profess to be Christians, amen, must completely separate ourselves from sin, because we are saved from sin, amen, having no more connection with it, amen, than a dead body has with the spirit that is gone from it. There's no connection between, are y'all still here? A dead corpse that is laying in the casket and the spirit that was inhabited in that individual. They are now separated. Amen. The spirit gone back to God from whence it come, but the body is still right there. So, amen, if we have died to sin, there should be no more connection or relationship with sin. Amen. Just as it took the mighty power of God to raise Christ, it will take, amen, the mighty power of God to bring alive the dead souls in sin and make them new creatures in Christ Jesus. Amen. I want to talk to you from these verses for a while this morning. Amen. There's got to be a broken, how can I say this? Let me rephrase that. There's got to be a brokenness in your experience with God before you ever are worthwhile to God. Amen. Knowing this, in verse 6, amen, look at our lesson today. In verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Amen. That henceforth we should not serve sin. Amen. And this sixth chapter of Romans, I don't know how these people that tell us that you have to sin a little bit every day, I don't know how they get around this sixth chapter of Romans, because it's opposite of everything that is being taught in our generation, that you have to sin a little bit every day. That is fallacy. Amen. There's no truth in that. If you are born again of the Spirit of God and you have died to sin, amen, then if you're died to sin, sin no longer reigns in your mortal body. Amen. When the Apostle Paul said that our old man, amen. The best thing, best way I can express that to you this morning is the devil has died in your life. Hello. Amen. The prince of the power there, the spirit, amen, that Paul said in another place, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, amen, that spirit of the enemy, that devilish spirit, that desire to sin, amen, should not dwell in you, praise God. If it does, then you have not got a hold of what the Bible describes as a new birth. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. Amen. In Adam, now we talk sometimes about the old Adamic nature. Amen. Really? I mean, you want to get down to the bottom line. Really, the old Adamic nature, as it is described and called, is nothing more than the work of the devil in the life of the individual. Amen. The old Adamic nature is Satan working in the life of the individual. Now, amen, whosoever, Paul put it in these terms, further over in this chapter, whosoever you yield your members to obey, his servants you are. Amen. If you yield your members to obey the devil and sin, then you are a servant to sin and the devil. Amen. If you yield yourself to be a servant to righteousness, then you are a servant to God and doing what that is right. When we talk about the old man, the old Adamic nature, let's talk about that just for a few minutes here this morning. Amen. When Adam sinned, y'all remember Adam's sin. When Adam sinned, he was still Adam. Amen. Hello. His spirit was still in him. His life was still in him. His body was still known as Adam. But you see, he just changed masters. Amen. Before the fall, he was a servant of God, created in the image of God. But when he sinned, he changed masters. Amen. And that new master is what caused him to fall. And I want to tell you this morning, amen, people can say whatever they can blame their conduct and behavior on John, Sally, Sue, amen, Tom, or anybody else. But the truth of the matter is their devilment, amen, is nothing more than the works of the devil that is working in their life. Amen. Somebody said, amen. Well, so-and-so made me do it. I said, there's no such thing. Amen. Help me here. Some folks say, the devil made me do it. To an extent, that's partially true. But the fact is, you yielded your whole body and your spirit to the devil. Amen. The difference in Adam was that he changed masters. Amen. There is no such thing as an old nature other than man's own body, soul, and spirit dominated by the satanic power of the devil. Amen. Amen. And when you read Paul's writings to the Romans, chapter 6, chapter 7, and chapter 8, he deals with the subject pretty thoroughly. Amen. He said, if sin revived, I died. My spiritual man died if sin came in my life. But if I became a servant of God, amen. Are y'all still with me? Then sin died and I was raised in the newness and the likeness of Jesus Christ. Amen. So I want to talk to you this morning. Amen. There's got to be a breaking of the old nature of sin that is controlled by the devil in people's lives. Amen. Before they'll ever be a fit subject to go to heaven. Amen. Sin is not going into that celestial city. Amen. No, sir. Amen. Now, to die. What does it mean to die? What does it mean for the old man to be crucified with Christ on the cross that the body of sin might be destroyed? What does it mean to die? To die out to sin. To die out to the flesh. To die out to the old nature. To die out to carnality. Amen. To die to a thing or to a person, which is the devil, is to have nothing to do with and to be totally separated from it. Amen. Having the old man crucified means that one has no further dealings with him. Amen. Help me here. You're not even talking to each other. Somebody said, well, the devil's been talking to me. What are you listening for? You don't have to listen to the devil. Amen. Amen. Having the old man crucified means that you don't have nothing to do with him no more. Amen. You've changed masters. Praise God. And I found out, and some of y'all might be able to relate to this. Amen. People sometimes profess to be a Christian, but you cross their wires and you'll find out they still got a pretty high temper. Now, where does that temper come from? Thank you, Brother Mac. That's exactly right. The devil. Amen. And if you are dead to the old man, you don't have anything in common. You don't have any dealings with him. Amen. Being dead to sin does not mean that the person or sin is dead. You see, because the person and sin, amen, are still in existence just as much as they ever were. I lost you right there. Hold on, hold on. Now, don't get confused. But to each other, they are being as totally non-existent. Hallelujah. Now, if you think for one minute just because you got saved that sin quit being sin out there, amen, you're very foolish. Sin's still in existence. The devil's still in existence. Hello. Amen. Sin's still in existence. The devil's still in existence. And when you get saved does not mean that you are not in existence. You're both still existing, but praise God, you don't have anything to do with each other. It's just as though you're in a different world. Amen. The songwriter said, I'm in a new world. Praise God, because old things have passed away. I don't have anything to do. I want to tell you, amen, this is probably, and I know this might be boring to some people, but I feel like this is one of the most needed things in our time right now than has ever been before, because we got sinning saints. Amen. And that is contrary to everything that the Bible teaches. Amen. If you are sinning, you're not a saint. You're not a child of God. Amen. Somebody said, well, I slipped. Then you must repent. Amen. And if there's no repentance, there's no restoring. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Help me here. Well, I lost some of you here. Amen. But the basic lesson for us this morning is that every servant or child of God must learn is that any measure of fruitfulness requires the breaking of this outward carnal fleshly man. Amen. That we call sometimes the old man. Amen. Has got to be crucified. Got to be broken down. Got to be killed. Got to die out. Amen. Amen. Paul's talking to us about being crucified with Christ on the cross. Amen. That means this carnal nature, this carnality, this fleshly desires. Amen. Not just part of your old life, all of your old life. Amen. Help me here. Paul talks about being crucified with Christ, amen. If a man is crucified on the cross, he dies. Everybody believe that? You understand that? That man's going to die. That means every part of that man dies. If a dead man is in a coffin or a casket, his toes don't wiggle. And if his toe wiggle, I'm going to leave. When a man dies, he's all dead. Part of him's not alive. He's all dead. That's the problem of sinning saints in the church world. They say they're new creatures in Christ, and yet their old nature and their carnality is still very much alive. Amen. God said that's not true. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or despise the one and hold to the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't sit at the table of the Lord and the table of God at the same time, or drink of the cup of the Lord, amen, and the cup of devils at the same. There's got to be a change. Amen. There's got to be a death. The problem is, amen, that people nowadays just pray long enough to feel better without ever having a change in their heart. They are partially dead. Amen. But they never die out to the old fleshly desires, and the devil still got a territory in their life. Amen. They may do better, they may look better, and they may sound better, but they're still part of the old man, is still very much alive, and they're not crucified with Christ on the cross. Whenever you die on the cross of Christ, your whole life is changed. Your whole nature is changed. Your whole person is changed. Amen. And we've got to have an understanding in these days that when people confess to be a Christian, amen, if they now can continue to show manifestations of the flesh and the carnality that the devil is the controlling author of, they're bringing a reproach on the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they're crucifying him afresh and anew. Amen. Because of the shame that they have brought on Christ and the gospel of Jesus. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning, amen, now about this, the importance of being broken before God. Amen. The church needs to know in the fullest way that in order to be used of God, there must be a broken will controlled by the Spirit of God. A broken will. Not necessarily a broken spirit, but a broken will. Amen. The battleground is strewn with those who refuse to give everything over to God. Amen. And allow the outer or the fleshly man to die so the inner man of the spirit may live and produce a spiritual life or a spiritual fruit. Now, did you know when Paul said, how many of you remember what Paul said about the fruits of the Spirit? Amen. Fruits of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace. Huh? Long-suffering, gentleness, patience, meekness, kindness. Amen. I mean, there's a whole list that he goes through. And then he says, now here's the clincher. Then he said, against such there is no law. What does that mean? Against such there's no law. Amen. You know what? Christians ought to portray the fruits of the Spirit all the time. Huh? All the time. All the time. Now, how many of you know what the works of the flesh are? Can anybody tell me what the works of the flesh are? Amen. Well, in that case, nobody wants to venture. Ricky, won't you turn over to Galatians chapter 5, I believe. Amen. And read to everybody what Paul said the works of the flesh are. Verse 19. Amen.
Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication.
Wait a minute. Now, the works of the flesh. Now, we have already determined that the flesh and the carnality of this human existence is controlled by the devil. God's not the author of the works of the flesh and the carnality. Amen. The devil is the author of the works of the flesh. Now, amen, start over there. Now, the works
of the flesh are manifest.
Which are these? Yes.
Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
Well now, amen. Did y'all hear what he said? I want you to go back. We're gonna deal with some of those things again. Amen. And dealing with the works of the flesh. Amen. If you want to start again reading that, amen. But why don't you go back up there to verse 16, Ricky, and start reading there first of all.
This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the
flesh. Now do what?
Walk in the Spirit.
Walk
in the Spirit.
What Spirit? What Spirit are we to walk in? The newness of life, The Spirit of God. The Spirit of holiness. Amen. Walk in the Spirit. Now, if you're walking in the Spirit, now here's the contrast. Walking in the Spirit, amen, you cannot fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. There's a war opposite there. If you're in the flesh, you're following the flesh. You're not walking in the Spirit. Amen. And so, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And read on.
For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
Now, you can't get any plainer than that. They which do such things shall not. You know people that, you know, confess or profess, rather, amen, to be a Christian, and they are involved in any of these works of the flesh that Paul addresses here, and they say they're a Christian, and yet, amen, they're involved in any of these works of the flesh. Paul said, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Either the Bible's right, and people are wrong, or the people's right, and the Bible's wrong. But the Scripture said, let every man be a liar, and let God be the truth. Amen. I think we pretty well understand, amen, what adultery is. I think pretty well understand what fornication is. If you don't know those two things, amen, it's still an act, a sexual act. One is before marriage, the other is after. Amen. But it's still unclean. Amen. Then he says uncleanness. Whatever is opposite of purity. Amen. Including sodomy, homosexuality, lesbianism. Are y'all still here? Bestiality. Amen. And other forms of perversion. Amen. Is included in this term of uncleanness. Now, you talk about uncleanness, go read the latter part of the first chapter of Romans. Paul deals with that very subject, and he talks about uncleanness. Amen. That is filthiness, lasciviousness. Amen. Lustfulness. That's lasciviousness, is lustfulness, unchastity. Amen. Lewdness. Filthy. Amen. It is the promoting or partaking of that which tends to produce lewd emotions. Anything tending to foster sex sins and lust. That is why many worldly pleasures have to be avoided by the Christians. Amen. Because they are fleshly and sensually promoted. Amen. And I don't understand why some people think that they can look at movies, come on here, and the things of this world, and it's all based on, amen, sensual desires and passions. Amen. And it'll not be long, amen, if they continue to follow that train of thought and enjoy those kind of filthy dreamers, it'll not be long until they themselves will be looking, amen, for somebody besides their own companion. Because the Bible said, amen, amen, it is licentious, it's lustful, it's wantonness, it's filthy, amen, and it fosters a sexual desire and lust and passions of the flesh. Amen. Now I want to tell you, when we understand that there's got to be a death of the old man, the devil. Amen. Separation from sin. We are living in a generation that does not want to separate from sin. They want to be religious. They want to go to church. They want the blessings of God and yet maintain their lifestyle with the old worldly desires and passions. I'm going to tell you, amen, you cannot sit down. I'm just going to deal with y'all this morning for a few minutes. You cannot sit down. I don't care whether it's in front of a TV or whether it's a video. Amen. I don't care whether it's a DVD. I don't care where you get. You cannot sit down and watch that filthy trash. Amen. And have prayer meeting desires in your heart. No wonder we can't get many people to come to prayer meeting. I snuck that right in there. Praise God. Amen. Witchcraft. That is sorcery. Practice of dealing with evil spirits. Magical incantations. Casting spells and charms upon one by means of drugs or in portions of various kinds. Enchantments were used to inflict evil and pain and hatred and suffering and death. Amen. And I am amazed at the number of people that go to church. Amen. And you ask them about such and such a person, and they'll say, I wish they were dead. Hello here. I'm going to tell you, that's not God. Amen. Hatred. Bitter dislike. Abhorrence. Malice. Ill will against anybody. Tendency to hold grudges against or be angry, mad, fuming at anybody. That's the works of the devil. I'm amazed. I really am in these days. I am shocked at the number of professing Christians that hold grudges. I am shocked at the number of professing Christians that hold grudges. And they will die with that grudge in their heart. And I want to tell you, they may say they go to heaven and the preacher may preach them into heaven. But if they're holding grudges in their heart when they leave to take the last breath in this physical earthly body, they're not going to the heaven where I'm going. Paul said, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You can't do it. You can't love God and hate anybody. Help me here. You can't love God and hate anybody. The reason there's so many divorces in our country, amen, is because they hate them. Now you can't. Now, what would it be like if I was to say to Sister Sam, I love you, darling, sweetheart. Give me a kiss. And at the same time, signing divorce papers. Huh? I lost y'all. It don't exist. It can't exist. It cannot exist. Quiet in here this morning. Praise God. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Variance. Dissensions. Variance means dissensions. Discord. quarreling, debating, disputing. Amen. And even in the church world, there are people that sow the seeds of discord among the saints for no other reason than to make themselves look better in the eyes of the people they're talking to. And I want to tell you, that's not a God. Y'all can say what you want to this morning. Amen. We have a generation in the church world that is eat up with gossip and sowing seeds of discord that has nothing to do but separate and divide the saints in the body of Christ until we become an ineffective force in our generation. Amen. God never. Are y'all still with me? You want to get shook up and stirred, go read every scripture in the Bible that deals with gossiping, amen, and discord. Amen. And if you can't find it in your Bible, you've got, amen, get your concordance and go look them up. And if you have trouble doing that, get you a Knave's Topical Bible. Amen. King James Version, by the way. Amen. And look up the subject of gossiping or sowing seeds of discord. And it'll list you every one of them in the Bible. Amen. In order as they come. And I want to tell you, I have never seen such a generation that is eat up with this, amen, gossiping and discord. Amen. Help me here. And variance. And it's even among our young people that they talk about each other. Should never be. Come on here. Parents, I would encourage you, if you hear your children in your family talking about John Doe's children in their family, you ought to stop them. I lost y'all. Amen. Because that's not a God. That's the works of the flesh. That's the works of a carnality. That's the works of the devil. Amen. And when that goes on, it does nothing but separate and divide and split apart the entire work and the cause of Christ. Amen. And I see it happen in the church world. Not just this church, but every other church and across the country. The devil knows that he cannot, amen, how can I say this? He cannot break up a hole in this church by knocking people on the head through the windows, throwing rotten eggs and tomatoes, amen, to the saints any longer. That never did, amen. Matter of fact, it caused the church to grow. But if he can get on the inside and work through the works of the flesh in people's minds and in their thoughts, in their hearts, in their lives, he will have accomplished what he could not do from battling and dividing the church from the outside. It is always from within. Amen. Are y'all still with me? You remember the story of the Trojan horse? As long as the enemy was on the outside, the city was safe. The city was safe because of the walls and the gates. They could not break through. But it's sure, amen, when they built that Trojan horse in the cover of darkness, they put the enemy put all their soldiers up inside. Amen. And they all left, they thought. Amen. And when they, the next morning, the people of Troy woke up. Amen. And saw that all their enemies was gone. And here left, amen, this wonderful statue that they left for them as a token of this battle and war. Amen. They opened the gates, pulled the Trojan horse inside. Amen. The city shut the gates and they thought that they were still safe. Amen. From the enemy. But what they didn't know was there was enemy soldiers inside that horse. Amen. And when darkness came the next night, amen, and everybody went to bed and thought they were safe, Amen. The enemy soldiers inside that horse, open the trap door. Come down. Open the gates of the city. Amen. The enemies come in and destroy the whole city. Amen. And that's the way the devil has chose to work in our generation now. Amen. He cannot battle down the walls of the gates of the church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. But if he can get on the inside of people's minds and hearts and souls, amen, and produce bad thoughts and gossiping, amen, sow the seed of discord, and the first thing you know, this one's talking about that one, and that one's talking about this one, until, amen, the confidence of everybody is shattered, and there's nothing left, amen, but a form of godliness. Woo! Praise God, feel like I could preach a little bit right now. That is the work of the devil. Huh? Somebody say amen. I said that's the work of the devil. That's the work of the flesh. Variance. Sowing seeds of discord. Amen. Making us pull ourselves apart. That's just as much as the work of the devil as drinking liquor. And it's really worse. Amen. It's really worse. Amen. Because people can gossip. Boy, I'm doing all right this morning, ain't I? People can gossip about each other and talk negative about each other, and everybody will still call them brother and sister. But if they go out and get a bottle of Jack Daniels, amen, and carry it around in their hand, amen, and take a swig every once in a while, everybody say, boy, that's the devil's work in their life. Amen. But I want to tell you, gossip, amen, gossip is just as much as a devil, amen, as Jack Daniels whiskey is. Amen. And gossip will destroy you yourself spiritually. And you cannot pray. Come on here. You cannot pray for your enemies as the Bible said for us to pray for our enemies. Amen. When you've been talking bad about them all day. Glory to God. Works of the flesh. Strife. Contention. Strife is a work of the flesh. Disputing. Jangling. Strife about words. Contentions. Here's the definition I think is vitally important to understanding what this word strife means. Contest for superiority or for an advantage. Strenuous endeavor to equal or pay back in kind the wrongs that were done. Does anybody understand anything I'm talking to you about this morning? The works of the flesh has got to be destroyed. Killed. Broken up. Oh, Slim's my buddy. Yeah, buddy. But I'm gonna tell you something. If Jerry Bragg comes and now I want to tell you something. Somebody said if a story is true, it's okay to tell it. Hogwash. Is no advantage in telling anything on somebody else. You remember when King Saul was out of favor with God, backslid. Come on here. God's spirit was withdrawn from King Saul. That's what the Bible said. Amen. And an evil spirit came upon him. And he went to battle, went to war with the Amalekites. And he got killed. His son Jonathan got killed. Some of his other sons got killed. Are y'all still with me? Amen. And this Amalekite came and run and found King David. Y'all listen to me. King Saul was still king. Are y'all still here? Amen. Amen. And displeased and out of favor with God and was backslid in a terrible condition away from God. Amen. And when that Amalekite came and told David, amen, that King Saul was slain. Amen. Are y'all still here? As Jonathan was dead and great men died. Amen. Are y'all still with me now? Get listen to me. Amen. And David said, publish it not in Gath, nor in the streets of Ascalon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice and dance in the streets. It's true. Come on here. It's true that King Saul was backslidden away from God. It's true that he got killed, amen, and died, amen. But you don't have to tell it. Now, what happened to that Amalekite that came and gave David the tale? Man, if we was to kill every gossiper now, how many folks would be left in church? The Bible said David had him slain. Amen. Because he touched the hand of King Saul. The Amalekite said he's the one who Saul was wounded when he come on him, and he asked him to thrust him through, and he did, according to his report. Amen. However, are y'all still with me? Amen. David said, you have put your hand against God's anointed. Saul at one time was God's anointed. I don't know what y'all going to do with this morning. But there's enough scandals in this country on preachers that would cause any normal human being to lose confidence in church and God. If you didn't have the genuine and know God for yourself, amen, you hear such tales, amen, it would shake your experience with God. The problem is, we don't need to tell it. Now, with Jerry Bragg, he's my buddy too. I think you are, ain't you, Brother Jerry? All right, praise God. So I got two buddies here. Amen. If Jerry Bragg comes and tells this here slim man, used to be slim anyhow, amen, tells him, did you know? Come on, y'all listen to me. Did you know that I saw Brother Savage walking down the street with somebody that wasn't his wife? Now, this happens. Now, Brother Slim's confidence is shook in me. Amen. Are y'all still here? His confidence is shook. Now Slim says to Brother Chip, did you know that they told me? And sometimes it's hard to find out who they is. They said, they told Slim that Brother Savage was seen walking down the street with another woman that wasn't Sister Savage. And Brother Slim tells somebody else. And somebody else tells somebody else. And somebody else tells somebody else. Now, it may be true And they find out that it was my first cousin. But you see, the gossip has injured my influence among good people that should have never had been said. Somebody say amen. Am I doing all right this morning? That's talking about discord and gossip and variance. And that's all the work of the devil. And he's the Trojan horse that has come inside the church to destroy and divide and kill and slay within the body of Christ. Somebody say amen. Is anybody here? Say amen. Is anybody with me? Say amen. Well, I got 3/4 of you. What about the rest of y'all? Is anybody else here with me this morning on this subject matter? The devil has come to rob, to steal, and to destroy. Now, what if? Y'all stay with me here. What if Brother Savage, and I haven't, and I don't, and I won't. But what if Brother Savage was walking down the street with another woman? Shouldn't we tell the whole church? You see, God has a way of dealing with them that he will expose it without your help, and your hands are clean, and you're not guilty of gossiping, and you're not guilty of sowing the seed of discord. And when God exposes, come on here, when God exposes wrongdoing and pulls the blanket off of things that are wrong, amen, then you can rejoice and say, I never told it. I never gossiped about it. I never sowed the seed of discord. I never tried to hurt the church. And did you know? Come on, I'm preaching this morning. Y'all may not think I am, but I am preaching this morning. Did you know that the influence of the church in a community is damaged? Amen. When so much gossip and discord has been sown, amen, that nobody has confidence in the church. Nobody has confidence in the people that go there. Amen. And the first thing you know, people say, ain't none but hypocrites go down there because there's so much gossiping by the saints themselves in the church and out of the church. Amen. Amen. Help me here. Amen. I want to tell you, amen, and help me. Help me, Lord. Brother Frazier's 88 years old. He's my buddy too, I think. Amen. He's 88 years old. But what good would it do you to tell somebody, I saw Shelby Frazier the other day with a gun in his hand going in a bank? What good did you get out of that? He's probably got a gun. Might have one this morning. I don't know. But you see, I'm talking to you about the works of the flesh and the work of the devil that has come to rob, to steal, and to destroy. The Trojan horse is among the people of God. And if we don't, come on here, if we don't keep it on the outside of the wall, on the outside of the gates, amen, you don't have to worry about worldliness destroying the church. You don't have to worry about a bunch of Jezebels and Ahabs and smokers and drinkers coming in and joining the church. We'll destroy ourselves from the inside. Amen. And there'll be nothing left but a sign out here beside the road that says Massanova Pentecostal Church. Amen. And everybody who goes there is a bunch of hypocrites. Amen. And full of the devil. Amen. And there's no semblance of religious worship going on. Amen. Because everybody's divided against everybody. And the works of the devil and the works of the flesh, amen, is running wild and unchecked. And I want to tell you, that is the work of the enemy. What if it is true? What good did you get out of telling it? Publish it not in Gath, nor in the streets of Ascalon, lest the daughters of the Philistines dance and rejoice. Is anybody here say amen? And I know that there's been a lot of people and a lot of preachers that has fallen. I understand that. But what good did you get out of telling it? How much did you pray for them? The fruits of the Spirit is directly opposite of the works of the flesh. Amen. Opposites. Amen. The works of the flesh is strife, envy. Are y'all still here? Hatred. That's the works of the flesh. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and kindness. Opposites. Praise God. That clock says I need to quit. But I feel like in my heart that we're living in a generation that does not understand the works of the flesh has not been crucified, has not been killed. And some of our young people's come in, and I wish the rest of them was here, but tell them to get the CD and take it to the whole family and let the whole family sit down and listen to it. Praise God. Don't feel bad. I've had one ring while I was preaching. And it was on my side. But I want to tell you, young people, amen. Get your head screwed on right and quit this talking about each other. And it doesn't matter whether it's true or not true. It does not need to be gossiped. Saints of God, old people, young people, middle-aged, mamas and daddies and grandmas and grandpas. Amen. Get our head screwed on right and realize that the devil has come to rob, to steal, and to destroy. And you don't need to tell everything you hear. If you got to tell it and you want to tell it, and some people are just that away. If they hear something or know something, man, they can't stand it until they tell it to somebody. If you've got to tell it, listen to me. If you've got to say it, tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. And you'll feel a whole lot better when you tell it to Jesus than if you used to tell Bill Paragory. When you tell Bill Paragory, you feel just as bad or worse when you leave him than you did when you told him. But if you tell it to Jesus, praise God, when you leave his presence, you feel refreshed and feel like God's grace is sufficient and he'll carry you through. Well, Man, I didn't get through the rest of the works of the flesh. Maybe we'll pick it up again some other time. But I want to tell you, amen, the old man, the devil, has got to die. Amen. I said amen. Praise God. I wished I could say, everybody who goes to church, everybody who comes to this church, or goes to any church, I wished I could say that everybody who does and is, is perfectly right with God and does everything just right. But they don't. And are not. And if you want to, I'm sure you can find something wrong with Slim. I'm not sure what it would be, but I'm sure you could find something wrong with Bill. You could find something wrong with Shelby Frazier. You could find something wrong with Brother Baker. Amen. You could find something wrong with Chip Roy. Amen. You could find something wrong with me. You keep looking, you'll find something. Amen. But it's going to do the kingdom of God an injustice and harm and a disgrace by just telling it to everybody. And I don't understand why people, I'm just talking to y'all like a pastor this morning. Amen. I don't know why a pastor has talked like a pastor sometimes, but sometimes a pastor has talked like a pastor because he is a pastor. But I don't understand why people leave church and go out there in the world and tell sinner people about things going on in the church that the sinners don't even need to hear. And then they wonder, I invite them to church, but they won't come. You've told enough poison, amen, that a dog wouldn't want to come. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord anyhow. Amen. I want to tell you, amen, we are living in a generation now that if we don't get back to the basic principles of godly living and crucify the old man, crucify the works of the flesh. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. I could tell you this morning tragic stories, probably on a dozen different preachers across the country. Amen. Help me here. But I'm not going to. You don't need to know. And nobody in this church ought to know. Amen. And if somebody from John Doe's church comes and tells you a tale on some other preacher, amen, are y'all still with me? You ought to be spiritual enough to say, my ears are not a garbage can. Amen. I don't need to hear it. I can't do nothing about it. Glory to God. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Somebody rung my phone a few months ago now and said something about a preacher, amen, that lives over 1,000 miles away from here. Amen. I said, hey, wait a minute. I'm 1,200 miles away. There ain't nothing I can do about it. I don't need to hear it. I got enough problems in my own church. Come on here. What could I do? What good did you get out of telling me? Amen.
I can't do nothing about it.
Ain't none of my problem. Right. Amen. I'm like the fellow who fell out of the car. I ain't in it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Leave it out there. That's their problem. Glory to God. Somebody say amen. But we get such a thrill out of telling somebody something I know about somebody else in it. I just get all excited about telling it. We are hurting the kingdom of God.
Somebody said, you're just trying to sweep it under the carpet.
No, I ain't. It's not my problem. That's God's problem. And in time, he will expose what sin there is. And I have never seen it fail yet. The other night, I wanted to do this, and I didn't get around to it because some other things happened. But I wanted to string out about 15 people across this line, across this platform up here, and whisper in this one's ear, I got to go to the hospital, and I won't be back till after midnight. I got to visit some folks there, and so I won't be back till after midnight, and y'all don't have to carry on things till I get back. And see what it sounded like when it come out the other end. It's never the same. I said, it is never the same. Matter of fact, it has, when it comes out the other end of 15 people, it don't have anything to do with a hospital. If it did, Brother Savage went to the hospital to see his girlfriend. You see, we are eat up, and if we don't get a hold of it and strangle the flesh, crucify the flesh, amen, we will be devoured one of another. And the first thing you know, amen, there'll be no influence for God at all. Man, man, man. Say, did y'all know that Bill and Ruth Paragois, they had a big falling out at their house? And he smacked her. I just got a feeling she liable smacked him back if he had him. Now, what good did that do for you to tell of the trouble in this home? As far as I know, he ain't. She's got enough gene in her. No, just kidding. Just kidding, folks. Need to erase that off the tape. God. Whee! I'm trying to get a point to us. Hey, man, that we got to stop this mess. Number one, it's none of your business what goes on in Bill's house. If he's got a problem in his home, amen, he can come talk to the pastor, and we'll have prayer with him, read the Bible to him, talk to him a while, and the Holy Ghost come by, amen, and they get it all reconciled, amen, and then going for God, amen. But if you sitting there, amen, say, oh, man, I heard they had a falling out. Look at him. He's up at the altar praying. Oh, hypocrite. Man, man, man. Y'all didn't think I'd come back from Oklahoma with that kind of stuff, did you? But I want to tell you, the devil is still the devil. And he don't care how many times you go to church. He don't care how many times you sing Amazing Grace. He don't care how many times you shake hands with each other. But if he can cause discord and sow discord and sow discord, he will accomplish the same thing that if everybody in here went down to the ABC store in Warrenton and bought a bottle of Jack Daniels and drank it, the end result would be the same. He's still a devil. Amen. I don't tell you. Woo! Glory to God. I'm all stirred up. Yes, sir. We got 25, 26 kids in this Christian school. Y'all know that? Most of them's good kids. What about the others? That's none of your problem. That's my problem. Come on here. Now, I want to tell you. Does these kids have problems in the school? Yeah! You know why? They're your kids. Understand, Bill. Understand what that grunt meant. But I want to tell you, does it do me any good? And the church any good? And the school any good?
Brother Baker, did you hear? They had a fight in the school the other day. Brother Welch, did you hear? They had a falling out in the school the other day. Brother Savage had to run in there and separate them. Say, buddy, did you hear? Boy, am I doing all right this morning. Say, buddy, did you hear? Amen. That one of the boys said a cuss word at school the other day. Now, what good is going to come out of me telling everybody in the church all the problem that goes on in that school? Now, I can tell you what. I can tell you. I can handle them kids. As long as the parents behave themselves and act like they got some sense, I can handle the kids. I lost y'all right there. Amen. Amen. I love them kids. I mean, I love all of them. Praise God. And sometimes the ones that don't do right liable to turn out to be some of the best vessels in the kingdom of God. And some of them that's the best. When they get grown and married, tears will flow down your cheeks. So, I'm trying to tell us this morning, let's not let the Trojan horse come inside the walls of the city. Keep it outside. Don't let the enemy loose on the inside of the walls, or we'll suffer the consequences. And Brother Savage,
I heard so-and-so about so-and-so. Do you think they did right or wrong? That's not your problem. If there's a problem with Brother and Sister Baker fussing and fighting, that's my problem. Hello. Amen. So, what do you do? What did you gain out of telling six people that Brother and Sister Baker was fussing and fighting and she threw a dishpan at him? What did you get out of that? Did it help you? Did it help the church? Did it help the work of God? Well, I'm doing good. Man, I'm in overtime, but it's all right. Amen. We've got to stop the gossip and the tale-tattling and the discord. Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody stand. Blessed Lord, we thank you this morning for the privilege and the opportunity to serve you. I pray, God, that you'll help. God, would you help us? Would you help us? Oh, God, to give ourselves wholly unto your gracious mercy and love and sanctify ourselves. Draw us together in the fellowship of your love. Help us, God, to do what's right and pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's come pray.